Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of the Savior, and we want to share together with you some of the wonderful truths which God has given to us in His Word. I have been saying right on through as we've been studying the book of Genesis together, the amazing thing that the Spirit of God reveals to us, so many of the wonderful truths we have in the New Testament are revealed to us in the Old Testament. We've come to that portion of Scripture where we have the revelation of the very heart of God manifested in this man Abraham. You remember that the 22nd chapter of Genesis is the offering up of Isaac. The one who is the very object of Abraham's heart, of his love, of his devotion, of his affection and his care. And God is going to allow Abraham to have an experience that God himself would go through 2,000 years afterwards. And the test is to Abraham, not to Isaac. We were speaking of this in our last lesson. In verse 2, and he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, get you into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell you of. Abram rose up early in the morning. I again repeat, the test is to Abraham. Give me now Isaac. It wasn't very hard for Abraham to give up Lot, which you have in chapter 13. It was a much more difficult thing to give up Ishmael in chapter 21. He just loved the fruit of the flesh, Ishmael. Oh, he could say to God, oh, that Ishmael may stand before you. God said, no, not Ishmael. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, will you give me Isaac? And I repeat what I have said. The walk with God is a walk of separation unto God. Indeed, the very first step in a walk with God is separation unto God from that which is evil, from that which is sinful. The more we walk with God, the more sensitive we are to that which is right and to that which is wrong. The Word of God becomes more and more precious to us. We have more discernment, and we grow in the grace of God. Now, you know, it's taken the Lord many, many years to get Abraham to this picture. When he came into the land, he was 75 years of age. The God of glory had called unto him. Now he's approximately 130 years of age. I know the pictures you have of Abram and Isaac. Isaac is a lad about 12, 13. I take it that Isaac must be in the neighborhood of 30 years of age. When you come to the next chapter, chapter 23, you have Sarah dying. And Sarah died at 120 years of age. That made Isaac 37 years of age. In the next chapter, he's 40 years of age. But I take it that possibly a number of years have gone by. Ishmael and Hagar have gone. And now Abram's heart is wrapped around Isaac, his son. He is a strong man. I would say approximately around 30 years of age. Now says God, you give me Isaac. Give me Isaac. Mark his obedience in chapter 22, verses 3 to 10. Notice, first of all, his diligence. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and argued with the Lord. Oh no. Look at that third verse. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Did you notice that six times in that verse the word and is used? Six different definite steps of faith. For example, he rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass. What about Sarah? She's sleeping. Do you think Sarah is going to let Abraham take Isaac out and offer him up as an offering to God, as a burnt offering? Uh-uh. Now, I know the Bible is silent on it. It's rather strange that Sarah's not even mentioned in the picture. I know God is testing Abraham. My friend Abraham, I'm going to lead you into a place, into an experience that I myself am going to go through. Give me your only begotten son. And he rose up early in the morning before Sarah was awake. And he saddled his ass. And he took two of his young men with him. And he took Isaac his son. And he chopped the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Deliberate action. Each one, I repeat, is a step of faith. By the way, this reminds me of our Savior. You remember in the book of Matthew 16:21, when for the first time he said to his disciple, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, he's going to be killed, he's going to be raised again the third day from the dead. And you remember how Peter rebuked him. Peter said, this be far from you, Lord. You have it in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5 to 7. I give my back to the smiters. I give my cheeks to those who plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame or spitting. But he that standeth by me shall justify me. And I have set my face as a flint. Take Luke 22. Take what our Lord went through in Luke 22. You find the same thing. When you come to Luke chapter 13:32, go and tell Herod, that fox, 2 days I'm going to do certain things, and the third day it will be accomplished. The Lord Jesus knew the moment he came on the scene, he must go to the cross. And again, I refresh your memory. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, our Lord said to his disciples, in 2 days is the Passover when the Son of Man shall be crucified. He set the time of his death. The next verses you have the committee meeting of the Sanhedrin. And they plotted his death, but they said not on the feast day. Our Lord set the time and also the manner of his death. Abraham took his son, the ass, the wood, the young men with him. And verse 4, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off, and he said to his young men, you stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Talk about faith. Notice he did not say, I and the lad will go yonder and sacrifice. No, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now, I recognize that the burnt offering is the offering of worship. It's holy for God. W-H-O-L-L-Y. You see, God is seeking worshipers. I hope you realize this. Christian friend, how much do you worship the Lord? How often do you come in his presence just to worship him? You remember our Lord said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, God seeketh worshipers. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he seeks such to worship him. God is looking for worshipers. Not workers, worshippers. Service is the outflow of our worship and our communion with God. If you serve without the communion with God, it'll be done in the flesh. It'll become irksome to you. It'll become a chore. Now, like what the pastor said when someone said, aren't you ever tired of preaching? He said, no, I'm never tired of doing anything for God. I may feel tired, but I'm not tired of what I'm doing. See, friend, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That's why I'm kind of pressing this, because today there's so little of it. Well, you see, I go to church every Lord's Day morning, yes, and you sing some songs, and you hear the pastor read some scripture, you hear the announcements and all the rest of it, and you hear a message sometimes. Some of you don't get the message from the Word, but there are those where they give out the Word of God, and the benediction is given, and you go home. You say, well, I've worshipped the Lord, have you? Where's your heart been? Where's your mind? How easy it is to sit in a church and have everything gone to heaven go through your head. Your mind's 1,000 miles away. God is seeking worshipers. Just not among his people alone, but in your own life. Every day, every day, every day, to worship him. People say, I don't know how to pray. As one man said, Mr. Mitchell, I get out to pray and I can tell the Lord all I know in about 3 minutes. I make my requests and I'm through. I said, it's about time you just stayed on your knees and worshipped him. He said, how shall I do that? Well, you can start to praise him for his love and for his grace, for his mercy. Thank him for all his goodness to you. It won't be long before you're rejoicing in the Lord and worshipping the Savior. In fact, he may intercede through you for somebody else. For you have the right, if you're a Christian, you have the right of coming right into the very presence of God. Just you and God. They have a time of fellowship and communion. And he will listen to you as if you were the only one in the universe beside himself. You mean that much to him. And he loved you enough. The measure of his love was sacrifice. Now, Abraham, how much do you love me? Take your son and offer him up for a burnt offering. And I read here, abide you here with the last. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You see, Abram is buoyed up because of the thought of resurrection. You notice he said, I will come again. We will come again to you. Who? My boy and I. We're going up on the mountain. We're going to go up there to Moriah, and we're going to worship. And then we'll come back to you. You see, his heart is cheered by the thought of resurrection. Well, I tell you, my friend, it's a wonderful thing. All the way through you have God encouraging him. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he believed that God would raise him from the dead, even though he slay him. Is this not what Peter has in mind when he writes to the suffering Christians of the first century? These who were possibly facing martyrdom, when he said in that first chapter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In verse 21, who by him do believe in God who raised him from the dead, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Tell you, my friend, you who love the Savior, remember, when you leave this scene, you go right into the very presence of God. When Paul could say in Philippians 1, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, far better, far better. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Looking forward to the time when our very bodies are going to be raised from the dead. I'm just as sure of that, my friend. I'm just as sure of the resurrection of those who trust the Savior as I am that Jesus Christ himself was raised from the dead. The guarantee of our salvation, the guarantee of our forgiveness, the guarantee of eternal life, the guarantee of eternal glory, the guarantee of transformed, glorified bodies, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's the same truth you had in chapter 17. Sample faith. Faith in the God who quickens the dead. Abram, you're going to have a boy a year from now. And he believed God when he was 99 years of age. And Sarah was 89 years of age. He believed God he was going to have a boy. Now give me your boy. He's nearly 30 years of age now. And his Isaac is. I will go yonder and worship. What for? He's going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering to God, believing that though he slay his son, he'd be raised again from the dead. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful, isn't it? Now let's see the preparation, 6-10. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Notice that little statement. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now let's look at the picture. Isaac carried the wood. Remember, this is a picture. As you have in Hebrews 11, Abraham offering up his son is a picture of our Savior being offered up for you and for me. Isaac carried the wood. Do you remember in John 19, verse 17? He carried the cross. That cross of wood, he carried. See. He was a willing sacrifice. He was a willing sacrifice. He could say in John 18, Shall I not drink the cup my Father hath given me to drink? Willing sacrifice. Abraham carried the knife and the fire. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 10, May it please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prosper his ways, and so on. And again that verse in Romans 3:25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Isaac carried the wood for the offering. Abram carried the knife and the fire. And you remember Jesus could say to the crowd, No man taketh my life from me. He was smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes were healed. Now mark the fellowship. Mark the fellowship. In verse 6, And they went both of them together. In verse 8, And so they went both of them together. You know, it's an amazing thing. Here is Abraham alone with Isaac. My, what a time of fellowship. What do you think would be in Abraham's thought? And when Isaac said, Father, yes, my son, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's your lamb? Where's your offering? Oh, what a test. Listen to the calm answer of Abraham, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know, friend, we have a picture here, a marvelous picture of the fellowship between the Father and the Son. Do you know, can I take the time to do this? before creation, they were together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with, and the Word was God. At creation, I was with Him when He made the worlds. Before creation, in John chapter 17:5, where He said, Father, glorify Thou me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. In 1 Peter 1, He was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, you see. They were together at creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 8, I was with Him when He made the worlds. And down through the centuries, they were together. And Genesis 11, you remember? Let us go down and confound their language. Chapter 3, man has become as one of us. Who's the us? Father and the Son, they were all of us together. Down through the centuries, when He was born as a babe in Bethlehem of Judea, they were together. When He was baptized by John of Jordan, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When He stood before Pilate, they were together. When He stood before Caiaphas, they were together. When they scourged Him, they were together. And when He carried His cross to Golgotha's brow, they were together. When He was nailed to the cross, bearing your sin and my sin, He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And God stopped Abraham from killing his son. He would not let his son go through what he himself would go through afterwards. I needn't say any more. I want you to see the test was with Abraham, not with Isaac. And as you read this passage through, and I sincerely hope you'll read it through over and over again, thinking that this is where God reveals Himself, and where God has made Himself known to His friend Abraham and brought him into a fellowship, into a union he's never experienced before. Now may the Lord bless you today for His precious name's sake.